Today's Daf Kuf. So we were last discussing a braisa yesterday about different people who may not give truma to them, chayre, shot, v'katan, and so on. We gave all the explanations as why we couldn't give to these various individuals. And so we got to four lines down now. The Gemara wanted to know why an isha, why one cannot give an isha truma in the fields. And the Gemara explains as follows. Ela isha my time alo. Why don't we give women truma out in the fields? The woman's allowed to. If she's a bas kohen, if she's an eishes kohen, she's certainly allowed to eat truma. So why don't we give her out, give her the truma in the field? So pligi ba rav papa, rav huna, b'rei, rav yeshua. There was machlokas amarayim. One concern is a grusha. What's the concern? If you look at Rashi in the top, he says, "Mishim grusha shemi garshenu baila." Perhaps her husband might divorce her. Vizar, now she's a zar. She's no longer an ashes kohen anymore. V'layada insha. People are unaware. They think she's still married because they're out in the fields and the divorce took place somewhere in the city. V'palgila, they're going to divide her. So therefore, since we never know when a person's still married to the kohen or not, it's unsafe to give her chuma out in the fields. That's one reason, mishum grusha. And the other reason, mishum yuchad, if you're giving a woman out in the field, so one time, we never know, she's going out to collect chuma in the field, then it's just the farmer and her, that would be an issue of a yuchad. So that's the reason why we don't let women collect in the field. So ask the Gemara, my benai, what is the nafkamina between these opinions, whether it's mishum grusha or mishum yichud? Ika benai, be dari demikarv lemasa, v'lo shchichi bahu inshu. If you have a threshing field, whereby it's close to the city, but not a lot of people are there, so if it's close to the city, they'll find out if she's a grusha, but since a lot of people don't frequent there, there would be concerns of yichud. Inami, alternatively, the mecharkek, it's far from the city, but nonetheless, people are still commonly coming to the field. So if it's far from the city, they may not know that she's a grusha, but since a lot of people frequent the field, there is no concern of yichud. So these are two nafkaminas of either close to the city without a lot of people, or far from the city with a lot of people. These are nafkaminas neutralizing one of the two issues of concerns of either grusha or mishum yichud. The Gemara then quotes from the Braisa again from yesterday that kulan mishagrin lehem lebateim, but even though you can't give everyone these individuals chuma in the field, you may send the chuma home to the house of the cherish, the house of the shota, and so on. Chutz with the exception of metame, one who's tame, venose isha she'eno hogenislo, or a kohen who married a woman he's not supposed to be married to. Aval Ariel mishagrin lehem, but to an Ariel one may send to his house. So my time, why are you allowed to send to an Ariel, a Kohen who's an Ariel, so why could you send to his house? Mishum da'anis, it's anis. The reason why a person's an Ariel, not because he willingly chose so, but rather because his brothers died from a bris milah. And after that happened to his two older brothers, so they said it was too dangerous for him to receive a bris milah as well, so he lives his life as an Ariel. So he doesn't come to the fields to collect because it doesn't look right, he's an Ariel, but he's still allowed to eat. So he sent it to his house, so that's an onus, it's not his fault. The Gemara says, Tamei nami ha'onus. The person who's Tamei, he didn't willingly become Tamei, it was an onus. So if he's onus, it was against his will that he became Tamei, we should also send to a Tamei's house as well. The Gemara says, no, there's a difference between the onus of a Ariel versus an onus of a Tamei. Hai nafish onse, v'hai lo nafish onse. By an Ariel, it says onus as it gets. He has no choice in his life at all, that he's not allowed to get a bris milah because it's two older brothers. But the one who's Tamei, okay, maybe that happened by onus, but the fact that he must have been too close to the cemetery, he wasn't fully aware, he's not negligent, but it's not the same level as onus as one who is an Ariel, and that's why for one who is a high-level onus, like an Ariel, we would send to his house, but one who's Tamei, we wouldn't send to his house because that's a low-level onus case. So Gemara then says, Tanu Rabban, we have the braisa that ha'eved v'ha'isha ein cholken lem chuma bebeis agranos. We don't give an eved, nor do we give a woman chuma in the field. Uvamakom she cholken, but in a place where we do give them, nosen l'isha tchila, we give women first, upotino somiyah, then we let them go. So Gemara says, my kama, we just said we don't give women the chuma in the field. And we say, ah, but sometimes we do give them a chuma in the field. So what exactly does this braisa mean? My kama. So halchi kama. Bimakom she cholken maiser ani, Nosin l'isha tchila. So no, by chuma, we never give women chuma in the field. But by maiser, sometimes we do give maiser ani to women, that we do allowed. And if we give maiser ani to women, nosin l'isha, we give it to them first before anybody else. Tchila, my time in mishum zilusa. If you have an eved or an isha, come collect a maiser ani. So it's a zilusa, it's disgraceful, it's unbecoming of a woman to collect a tzedakah, maiser ani. So we give it to them first, they could go home and have some dignity. That's what it's referring to. But by chuma, we don't give them. But ma'aser ani, we are make by giving them ma'aser ani. So Gemara then said, but that ma'aser ani says, Rashi says, we don't give it to them in the fields, we give it to them in the house. Besoch bias, that's what we give it to them. But when we do give it to them, we do give it to them, rather, we give it to them in the rather than the city. Bevzochair says Rashi, we give it to the city. So there's no concerns of yichud at that point. But still, it's a zilusa b'milsa. It's disgraceful. It's unbecoming of her to come out of the house to collect even in the city. So that's why we give it to her first. They could go home carrying some dignity. Mar then says Amar Rava. Rava says Meresha initially. Kiyavu also gavra. The Itis Aladin. If I had two different Dine Torah come to my Bezdin, one was a man involved in a Din Torah, and a separate case was a woman involved in a Din Torah. Initially, have a Sharina Tigra the Gavra. I refer to send back the fight with the Gavra, Bereshit. I mean, I deal with his case first, so that man could go home. I mean, the Mechai the Mitzvahs, his Chayv Mitzvahs, and this way he could go back to doing his Mitzvahs, to learning Torah, whatever he's involved in. And women are part of Mitzvahs, so I wait for her, she could wait for me. However, says, came in the Shemana Lahash, once I heard the statement that we should give women first the Maaser Ani, so they could go home and not stand there disrespectfully. So then, after I heard that din, Sharina Tigra Da'ata Itis Abresha, I would actually deal with the din Torah of a woman before that of a man. Why, my time? Well, what's the reason? Mishum Zilusa, it's unbecoming of her to have to sit around, wait around in the Bezdin, so we let them go first. Gemara then quotes from yesterday's Mishnah, Higdilu HaTarovus, we had this mix-up of a Kohen and a Eved of a Kohen. We weren't sure which one was the Kohen, which was the Eved of the Kohen. So the Mishnah had said, when they grow up, when they become bigger, let them meshachar each other, free each other. The Kohen will free, this one will free that one, in case he's the Kohen, he's freeing the Eved, and if the Eved is the Kohen, he frees the other guy. So the Gemara, it sounds like that they have the option of freeing each other, but it's not an obligation to free each other. So, shichachu e bai in e lo bai lo. It sounds like there's an option. If they want to, they may. If they don't want to, they don't have to. But Gemara says, how could that only be an option? There's a requirement for them to free each other if one of them is an eved. Why? Why is it only an option? It shouldn't be voluntary. Lisa shivcha ein yachal. They're not allowed to marry shivcha. And baschorin ein yachal. They can't marry baschorin because one of them is an eved. One of them is a kohen. We don't know which is which, so they can't get married to anyone. Because if they marry shivcha, maybe this is the kohen. They can't marry the baschorin because maybe this is the eved. So we should have to free both of them in case one's an eved. So now they're fully bnei yisrael, so they can marry. The Gemara says you're right. Amarava ema kofino, so we force them umeshachrin zetze in order to free each other. So by there is no concern of them, any one of them being an eved anymore, so they would be able to get married and be involved in the mitzvah peruvu. So the Gemara then said the end of the Mishnah yesterday said that nosin la elohem chomer v'chule. We give them the chomers of a kohen and the chomers of Yisrael. And the Mishnah didn't tell us with respect to which particular halacha. So Gemara now tells us, what does that mean? We give them the chumers of both a Kohen and a Yisrael. So the Ma'ay Hilchasa, with respect to which halacha? So Amar Papa, the Minchasam, with regards to Menachas. If they were to bring Menachas, the way it works by Mincha, if one brings a flour offering, an offering of flour, F-L-O-U-R, not the flour as we smell, but the flour of bread, so they bring a Mincha offering, the halacha is you give a Kemitza, the Kohen separates a Kemitza, and that Kemitza goes on the Mizbech, and the Shirai, the leftover, is eaten. That's by Minchas Yisrael. Of a mincha kohen. If a kohen offers a mincha, there is no kmitza. We take the entire mincha and we place it on the mizbech. So what do? We don't know if he's a kohen or Yisrael, this person. So the Gemara explains as follows. The Nikmet says, k'minchas Yisrael. We do a kmitza like a regular minchas Yisrael. However, eino nechaz, we don't eat the shiraim of it, because if it's a kohen, we don't eat shiraim. There are no shiraim of a kohen's mincha. So what do? How does that work exactly? So hakeitzad, hakometz karba asma, you take the kemitza and you're makriv it like minchas Yisrael. And the shirayim as well, even though normally shirayim of Yisrael you would eat, but since he might be a kohen, you can eat it. The shirayim kraven biatzman, you also take the shirayim and throw them in mizbeach as well. So this way you have a kemitza, but you also have everything cool color. Everything gets burnt up like a minchas kohen. This way it's somewhat of a compromise. Mark says that's a problem. To take the shirayim that you're supposed to eat in case he's Yisrael and to place it on the Mizbeach, that's actually an Isser Deraisa. Ikri Khan, let me call here, let me invoke the Pasuk, Kol Shemi Menu Li'ishim, that which is supposed to come from the fire for you to eat, and it's subject to the Isser of Harehu Bibal Taktir. There's an Isser Tri Maktir Shirayim. So how could the Gemara suggest to take the shirayim and burn them on the Mizbeach? So Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, Bred Yerbi Shimon Ben Pazi, Demasik Le Lushim Eitzim. The only Isser of taking the shirayim, not eating them, but putting them on the fire, is to put them on the fire when it comes to the shame reach nichoch. I'm doing this for the sake of a karbon. If I want to put that shirayim on the mizbech for the sake of eitzim, for firewood, to fuel the flame, that actually would be allowed. So what you do is you take the shirayim and you place it on the mizbech with the kavanah of it being used for eitzim, for firewood. Ki Rebbe Elazar, the Tanya Rebbe Elazar Omer L'Reach Nichoach Ya Tamala. You can't use Shirayim for Reach Nichoach for carbon to Reach Nichoach to satisfy Hashem, whatever that means. But what one may do is about Atamala the Shemaitim, but you can't use it to fuel the fire like wood. So Gemara says that all makes sense. Hanichal Rebbe Elazar, if you make such a drasha. However, El Rabbanan Ma'ik Lameim, Rabbanan don't hold of such a drasha. So what are you supposed to do with these Shirayim according to the Rabbanan who don't allow you to use them for Eitzim? So Gemara says, no, even for Rabbanan, there's an Eitzah. The Avid Lak Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. You do like what he says. What does he say? The Tanya, Rebbe Elazar Ben Shimon Omer, Hakomets Karv Latzmo, Vashirayim, although he says Shirayim can't be placed on top of the Mizbeach, but he does say, Mispazrin Al Beis Hadeshim. There's an area on the side of Mizbeach. Every single morning, the Kohen would go up and scoop up some of the ashes, which is called Trumas Hadeshim. He'd come down the ramp and place it right next to it on the eastern side of on the Mizbeach, and place on the floor. That was one of the miracles the Gemara says, that the floor would swallow up the deshem. So Rav Elazar says that place where you place a deshem next to Mizbech, you would actually take these shirayim and place them there, that makom beis deshem on the floor. That's what you could do. V'yafilu Rabban, even Rabbanan, who say not to do so, lo pligi aled Rav Elazar Rav Shimon el b'minchas chote shekohanim debasa kravahu. Even Rabban who say don't do this, you shouldn't take shirayim, put that on the floor, that's only referring to if you have a mincha, which is vaday minchas kohen, that all has to get burnt on the mizbech. That's where they say don't place it down on the floor. Aval hacha here, where it's not a vaday minchas kohen. We don't know if it's a minchas yisrael or a minchas kohen. It's a suffix. Even the rabbanan, afilu rabbanan would be modu that you can take the shirayim and place them etzel hamizbech. So therefore, we have an option what to do with the shirayim. So you do the kemitza in case they're minchas yisrael, and you place it on the mizbech, but the shirayim you can't eat because maybe it's minchas kohen. So either you take shirayim and put them on the mizbech l'shem etzim, like the opinion of Rebbe Elazar, or you take them on the shirayim, place them on the ground, like the opinion of Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, who even Rabbanan would agree to as well. Now the new Mishnah says as follows. Mishalo shasa achar baila, shlosha chadashim. The person who doesn't wait after her husband 3 months, and we'll see what achar baila means at the end of Amud Beis, we'll have different options what achar baila means. But one who doesn't wait after separating from the husband, whatever that separation came from, she doesn't wait the 3 months that she's supposed to, because as we learned earlier in the Masechta, you have to have 3 months separation between husband A, husband B, so we can distinguish who the right father is. If she has a child within 7 months, we don't know who the father is. So if we have a 3 month break, so then if she has a child 7 months later, we know for sure it's the second husband. If she has a child 4 months later, we know for sure it's from the first husband. So you need a 3 month break. But she didn't wait the 3 months. So what happened? Vanessa, and she gets married to a second husband. The yal done, she has a child. Ben Tishal Rishon, im Ben Shivalachim. We don't know if he's a 9 month child from her first husband or a 7 month child from her second husband. So what happens? Now, hayulo banim min harishon and banim min hasheni. She has children from her first marriage, and she has children from her second marriage. So now, choltzin. Now, let's say that son dies, that son dies who is a suffolk, and choltzin v'lo miyabin. The din is brothers from both the first relationship and the second relationship can only do chalitza, but they can't do yibum. Why can't they do yibum? Because if it's their brother from their same father, then fine, right? That's your father A. So this son that we'll call father A, father B, we have this image here. So this son here, we don't know if he's father A or father B. So if he's part of father A, that's fine. If he's part of father B, they can't have Yibum with her, because with him, or the wife of him, because that son might be part of this relationship, and although they might share the same mother, they have different fathers. And a half-brother from the mother is an Isser Erva. The only heter of Yibum to an Eishes Ach if they share the same father. If they only share the same mother, that's one of the arayos. So the brothers from this group can't have yibum with this child because he might be part of that group. And the brothers from the second group can't have yibum with this middle child, the suffix child, because he might be part of the first group. So therefore, only chalita would be allowed to that suffix wife, not yibum. The chenu, so to the suffix himself, if any of his half-brothers from either the first husband or the second husband, if they were to die and leave behind a wife, that suffix child can't do yibum either. Only chalita would be allowed, v'lo miyabim, because we don't know if they're his real brothers, full brothers, or they're only half-brothers from the mother. And if only they're half-brothers from the mother, then Eishes Ach would be an Isser Erva. So now the Mishnah says further, top of Kuf Amud Beis now, Hayu lo achem min harishon v'achem min hasheni, shelo me'osu ha'em. Let's say they have brothers from the fathers, but with different mothers now. It's a little tricky now. So now you have father A, father B, and children from those, and then the suffix in the middle. But each of these father A have these brothers, have other half-brothers from the same father, but from different mothers now. So now what happens is, if this child dies, so then they can have Bia, because either it's the same father, or if it's a different father, it would be, he would not be related to them at all. So again, if he has brothers, this one's a little confusing without a chart, it's hard to explain this. Hayu lo achim min harishon, ve'achim min hasheni, if they're brothers from both the first husband and the second husband, but shalom sa'im, but not from the same mother, so then hu chaletz umiyabim, this suffix child can do yibam or chlitza with them, because if he does yibam, so perhaps they have the same father. But even if they don't have the same father, so then he's from the previous relationship, they don't have the same mother though, that's certainly true, and therefore it would be simply a nachris, and that's why it would be allowed. V'heim, to him, these brothers from other mothers, so then can perform yibam chalitza to that suffix child, because either they share the same father, or if they don't share the same father, they don't also share the same mother, so therefore it will be a nachris. So then, again, who chalitz miyabim to these other brothers? V'heim echad chalitz v'echad miyabim, and them to him, one performs chalitza, the other would perform yibum. Now let's say, back to this case, haya echad yisrael v'echad kohen. Let's say one of the fathers, you have two husbands again. So the first husband, let's say, was Yisrael, and the second husband was a kohen. Now this child is a suffolk, we don't know if he's a kohen or Yisrael, who his father is. So this child must no say isha ruri le kohen. He can only marry a woman who's fit to be married to a kohen, meaning he can't marry a grusha, because he might be a kohen. V'ein metam, he doesn't become tame meis, because he might be a kohen. Vimnitva, if he does become tame, ein tovik esar bam, he doesn't get lashes because he might not be a kohen. Ein ochel b'truma, he doesn't eat truma because he may not be a kohen. Ein machel, if he does eat, however, ein umasham kem v'chomish, he doesn't pay because he may be a kohen. Ein chalik achel garm, but we don't give him out any truma in the field because he's not vade a kohen. However, if he does get truma, he can be mocha the truma, he doesn't eat the truma, but he could sell the truma to kohanim for damim shalom, he could keep the money for himself to use. Ein chalik b'katchi kardashim, he doesn't take any of the hide, any of the ore from the carbonus in the base of Mikdash. Vein nosin lo esav kachim, we don't let him bring a carbon. Vein motzin es shelo, if he does take one, we don't take it away from him. And patim in azorav lechaim akeva, if he has a regular chulin animal, which normally you give the arm, one arm and cheeks and the stomach is a manos kuna, you give it to the kohen. If he has that chulin animal, he does not need to give it to the kohen, because a non-kohen may eat these, it's just a mitzvah to give to a kohen, but they're not kedusha, there's no kachim to it. So he's allowed to eat it, because he might be a kohen, so you can't claim it from him. Ubechor, if he has a bechor, he can't eat it because a bechor is kachim and only a vade kohen can eat it, but he can hold on to the bechor, yeroa, ad shistayv, until it gets a mum, and when it gets a mum, then even a non kohen can eat it as well. V'nosin lov chomri kohen and v'chomri yisrael, we give him the chomers of being a kohen yisrael, that's referring to menachos. So that's all if it's a one husband was a kohen, one husband was a yisrael. Let's say hayu shneihem kohanim. Let's say both husband A and husband B were kohanim. So now this child is certainly a Kohen, we just don't know who his father is and who the brothers are. So who onen alehem? So he, this child, will be an onen for both of his fathers, both his suffix fathers, just to be safe. Vehem onen in alav, and they both would act be'on aninus for this child, because it might be the son. Who eno metami lehem? He, the suffix child, cannot be matami to the father Kohanim, because we don't know which is the vade Kohen father. V'heim ainu matami lo, and they cannot be matami to him either, because they may not, he might, may not be any of their, which this one child. Hu ainu yorish osam, he cannot be yorish them. He wants to be yorish one of the fathers. The father's other children, who are vade children, would say, you're not one of ours. You're part of that family. You're that father's child. So he can't be yorish, because both parties will say, you're not us, you're with them. And they'll say, you're not with us, you're with them. So he gets pushed off either way. He has no collection rights from the Yerush of either one of these fathers. Avahem Yorshin Oso, but both sets of brothers could claim rights to the suffix child. If the suffix child dies, they could both claim rights to his Yerush and say it's ours, and they say it's ours, and they would be, Mamun Muta B'Suffix would be Chok, and they would divide the Yerush of this suffix child. Upata Makaso, if this suffix child hits his father, he's Pater, because we don't know who his Vade father is. Vakalasa, if he curses his father as well, he's Pater. Shozev Shozev, he putted from both hitting and cursing each both these fathers. He does, however, go up to the base of Migdash with both families, with both fathers. However, we don't give him any of the food, any of the carbonos, any of the ore, because each one says even though he goes up to the Beis Hamikdash, which is the Mishmar of this father, and with the Mishmar of that father, each Mishmar will say, but you're not part of ours, you're part of theirs. And this one says, you're not part of ours, you're part of theirs. So he can't collect. However, im hayushneim b'mishmar echa, but let's say both Father A and Father B are of the same Mishmar. The same Mishmar, they go up, they would have gone up the same week, so he goes with them, then no tilchei echa, then he certainly can collect, because no matter which one, both fathers are the same Mishmar, so he certainly has the rights to collect within that Mishmar. Fine. So the Gemara then says, we suggest that one of the options when they had brothers, half-brothers from the same father but different mother, so first one would do chalitza and then nibam. This we've seen several times. So why do we do chalitza and then nibam afterwards? Dafka michlatz v'hadam yivumei, ava yivumei b'resh. If we have him do yibam before chalitza was done, no, that wouldn't be allowed, because maybe he's really the shomeris yavam of the other brother, and the kapag of a yavam l'shuk, and that would be a violation of a lav to ba al yavam l'shuk. So first one brother does a chalitza to release her in case he's the right brother, and then the other brother could do yibam. So then the Gemara says the following. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, Asar kohanim omdim. You have 10 kohanim who are standing together in a group. Upir shechem, one of them slips away. Ubal, and he has beer with a woman. Vavlad shtuki, the child is shtuki. What do you mean the vlad shtuki? So we know that the only options were kohanim. So the husband or the father of the child is certainly kohen, but we don't know which one it was. It's a suffix, which of the kohanim separated. So that child's called a shtuki. What does it mean a shtuki? My shtuki. That we silence him from collecting his father's property, his Yerusha, he cannot collect his father's property. Pshita, that's obvious. We don't know who the father is. We said one slipped away and came back, and we don't know who the right father is. So therefore, of course, he's not going to get his father's Yerusha. You don't have to tell me, Mishatkin Oso. We don't know who the father is. Ella, what it means is, Shemishatkin Oso Midin Kohen. They can't serve as the Kohen. And Rashi explains he can't be the Kohen, that certainly he has Yichus, because you know his father is certainly a Kohen, even though we don't know who the father is, but the only options are to be Kohen. So he certainly is a child of a Kohen. However, he's not allowed to serve in the Beis Hamikdash. Why not, if he's a Kohen? So Gemara explains, my time, huh? Amar Kra, the Gemara invokes the Valang Drasha. The pasuk describes the Kohanim that not only Aaron and Bnei Aaron, but all the descendants thereafter are all allowed to work in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara says, but only a meyuchas achar of Alek, only if there's meyuchas, if I know who the father is. I know this child's a Kohen, but I don't know he's a son of which Kohen, so that's not allowed to work. That child, that Kohen, cannot work in the Beis Hamikdash, because it's a special din, you need to have meyuchas achar, he must know his family tree. He doesn't know his family tree, even though he's a Kohen. That's why he's possible from Mishatkin Aso, from the working in the Beis Hamikdash. So ask the Gemara, is that true? Every time it says zarecha acharecha, it always means you have to have yichus. So maskula rapapa, elam yata, that's the case. Gabi Avram, it says, dichsev, yoslecha lel kima ozarech acharecha, it should be for you, for Hashem, and all the children afterwards. Hosam my kima zarecha, like Rachmana. What's the Torah warning about? What's the zarecha acharecha? What's the warning to you and the children afterwards? What's the chiddush of the pasuk? Why it says, no, hachi kamar. Lo tinaseva ovedes kochavim, don't marry a non-Jew, v'shivcha or shivcha, because otherwise your children will follow them. But if you follow the halacha and you marry within the Klai Yisrael, then the children will follow you. So that's what it means. Make sure you zarech acharech, the children follow you and have the proper yichus. That's the drasha. The drasha is that we have to have the yichus both for, you know, just warning to marry within the Jewish nation, and also in terms of kohanim, to work in the Beis Hamikdash, it must be miyuchas achar, we must know the family tree. So ask the Gemara, Meisvei, Rishon Raleos Kohen Gadol. This talking about Rashi tells us a Mishnah earlier. If you have a Yavam who's Baal Eshet Achiv, he performs mitzvah Yibam within 3 months, even though he's supposed to wait 3 months, but he doesn't. But it still gets the mitzvah. So the din is, even though we don't know who the father is, because it could be from the late husband or it could be from the new husband, the Yavam. In the end of the day, Rishon Raleos Kohen Gadol. That child could still be fit to be a Kohen Gadol. How could that be? For Habayin and Zaro Miyuchas Achar Veleka. Didn't we say to serve in the Beis Hamikdash, you have to have Miyuchas Achar. We have to know who the father is. And this Mishnah says we even let him be a Kohen Gadol. We know he's Vade Kohen because both brothers, the first husband and the Yavam, the second husband, were both Kohanim. So he's certainly Kohen, but we can't let him work in the Beis Hamikdash because you have to have Miyuchas Achar. And this is not the case. There was less than 3 months waiting period. So Gemara says the truth is Zaro Miyuchas Achar, of that concept of having the Yichas and an allowance, a license to work in the Beis Hamikdash, that's only a din dirabanan. And the kruz esmachta ba'alma, it wasn't a real drasha, it was simply an esmachta. It's only a din dirabanan, it's not really needed. However, v'chi gazer rabanan, when we're rabanan goes there, not to let a child who we don't have full yichus work. That's only business. When it was a violation of business, like the case of the 10 men, and one coin slipped away, it was mazana of the woman, so it goes there not to let the child who doesn't have the yichus to work in the Beis HaMikdash. But b'nisuin, when this marriage, although we've lost the yichus, whether it happens to the brother dies in the yibum, there's a mitzvah of yibum, there's a mitzvah of nisuin, things were done properly, even though they didn't wait the 3 months, but it wasn't znus, there, b'nisuin lo gazerban, they did not make a gzera, and therefore, even though the child, we don't know who the right father was, whether it's the first husband or the yavam afterwards, we would in fact let him work in the Beis HaMikdash, because again, the din of miyuchas acharav, zar miyuchas acharav, is only a din derabanan and only a gzera. So Gemara says, is that really true? Is by every case of znus, we are gozer? U'biznus mi gazer, we gozer by every case of znus, if we don't know who the father is, we don't let him work in the Beis HaMikdash? That's on our mission on the beginning on Daf Kuf Amud Aleph, this Daf today, on Amud Aleph. It says that Hatnan Mishlo Shasa Achar Baila Shlosha Chadashim Venisis Vayalda, a woman who did not wait 3 months from last being with her husband, so that child she has. So my Achar Baila, what does the word mean Achar Baila? Very cryptic. After husband what? Died? Divorced? What happened to the husband? So Ilema Achar Mises Baila, if it means she didn't wait after her husband died. Wait a second. Ema Seifa, who onen Alehem? V'heim onen alav. That the end of the Mishnah said that he, the child who's a suffolk, has to be an onen for both possible fathers of his. V'heim onen alav, and both fathers have to be onen when that son dies. Now I'll tell you the question before you get there. That if one of the fathers died, he can't be an onen for the son anymore. So it can't be acher bailus. So the Mishnah said, the Gemara says, I understand a case where the son could be onin aleihem, where he could be an onin for both fathers, even though, if right now we're saying the Mishnah is where the first husband already died, and then the son was born after the first husband died, you could still have a case where that son could be onin for his deceased possible father. How could that be? Mishkachas la b'nisun, where this marriage, where she married a second man, and Desheni, a second man, v'likrat samus dekama. Likrat samus is when you exhume a body after it's been buried, there's a level of aninus that day. So the son, when his father was exhumed and moved elsewhere, he would have to practice aninus that day. So you could have a son being an onin for both fathers, even though one father died before he was born. You could have another second aninus. That makes sense. However, the opposite. El, if you want to say heim onin alav, if the fathers both have to be onin for that son who's a suffolk, hey chamishkachas la kama hamesle, the first father is already dead. He can't be an onin if he's in the ground. So it can't be a case, achar baila can't mean after death. So what does it mean? It must be ella begusha. Must be after she was divorced from her husband. Umay achar baila, achar get baila, after the husband gave her a get. So the problem with this is, ema seifa. Hu ena matami lahem, ena matami lo, if he dies, so the fathers are not matami to that suffix son. If the fathers die, the suffix son is not matami to them. So bishma, I understand, hein, a matamin lo, that they're not matami to their son, luchumra, the chochad v'chad dimma lo brehu, because he may not be the son of either one of the fathers. So misafik, the fathers can't attend the funeral. Elohu ain't matami lam, but he, the son, the safik, cannot be matami to the fathers. Amai, why not? Bishma l'sheni lo, l'tami lo. I understand why the second one, he's not matami to the rishon, he should be matami. Why? Elohisha matami lo, mimanavshach. Ibrehu shapir come matamile. If the father is a rightful father from the first son, so the son matamile, that's a good thing. And if not, ibar basahu, if the son is really the son of the second father, shapir come matamile, he's also able to matame to the first guy, even though it's not his father, because he's a chalal. Why is he a chalal? Because if the case is achar baila means achar get, that means this woman's a grusha, and she gets married to a second husband, the child's a chalal. Chalal doesn't have to keep halachas of kohanim. So that child should certainly be able to be matamei to the first husband, either because it's his father, or even if it's not his father, he's from the second relationship, well then he's a chalal if it's a second relationship, and a chalal may be matamei to a koa, to anyone, because he's a chalal. So this scenario, the Mishnah, cannot be a case of achar grusha. So Ella, what's the only option? It can't be achar misa, it can't be achar grusha, it must be Ella la bisnus. It must be a case of znus, where the woman was mezanet with another man within three months of her husband. And it's tiyufta d'shmuel. It's a tiyufta d'shmuel. Because we see here that even though there is znus here, we were gozer that the child has to keep all the halachas of the kohanim. And he could even work, We said in the Beis HaMikdash, he's allowed to work in the Beis HaMikdash, even though he can't collect the hides, the ore, he can work in the Beis HaMikdash. And we said above, by a case of Znus, we don't let a Kohen work in the Beis HaMikdash. But this Mishra is a case of Znus. And we say he's able to go up in the Mishra and work in the Beis HaMikdash. So Gemara said, no. He's a, he wouldn't be a mamzer in this case, because, was there a divorce in this case? Let's see. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi, look at Rashi, three narrow lines up. Rashi says, Ela lav biznus, shishneim bahu ala biznus, both them. It was never married, so it was never married. They're both out of wedlock. So that will not create a mamzer. It's only with his issakari. So we have a woman who married, or did marry, had a child with a son out of wedlock, with a man. Had another child with another man out of wedlock, but it wasn't through marriage, and there was no marriage, and she wasn't married, there wouldn't be any case of mamzeris. The hilkach ein matamilen, the benkach kohen kashu. Both husbands were kohanim, umishkachas hu one aleim vein ein hein alav the tevayach chazulu. Because again, mamzer is only with the issakaris. If she were to be married and be mezana with somebody else, you're right, that would be a mamzer. If she wasn't married, she was a single lady having children, although it's wrong and violations of a law, it does not create a mamzer. Either way, there's a tiyufta de Shmuel. So Gemara says no. Amar Rav Shmaya, our Mishnah is not talking about a case of snus. Don't ask any questions against Shmuel. Our case is a mimenis. Mimenis is a woman, a ketana, who was married by her father died. She was married by her mother and her brothers, and she refused the marriage. She did miun, so that's the case. Mimenis. So Gemara says, wait a second. Me, mamenis, me call yalda. If she's mamenis, only a katan, only katana could perform mean. A katana can't have children. So you can't have a case of this. A woman, a mother being mamenis from the first husband marrying somebody else. How could that be? The hatani, the Bryce says, Rabbi B, Kami, the Rav Nachman, shalosh nashim mishamshus b'moch. Three women have to, have relations with a moch, some protection. Katana muberes menika. Katana has to use protection. Shema tisaber, maybe she can become pregnant. V'tamas, and she'll die. Muberes has to use protection. Shema tase ubra sanda, perhaps it's gonna cause harm to the fetus. Menika, a woman who's nursing shema tigmas, but not, maybe she's gonna get pregnant and not be able to nurse her current child of v'yamas and die. V'ezek katana, who's a katana? Bebas achad asrei shana v'yom echad, after 11 years old, ad bas shem asrei shana. Those that 1 year, but from 11 to 12, pachs mekan, less than this. Oh yes, Mikan are older than this. Mishamesh is a kadarka. Let her have tashmish regularly. Veholachas and kedivrei Rabbi Meir. Chacham omrim achazu mishamesh is kadarka. We're not concerned with any skanas here. No skana. Kadarka veholachas. Let them have tashmish. Mishamayim yirachmu. Chazur Rachum. We'll take care of them. Don't worry. No need for any protection. Shneim arshomer pesach Hashem mishkach shomer Hashem. Either way, we see from here that a child, the katana, who's under the age. Underage is not able to have a miyun. If you look at Rashi, Mibas Yud Alpha Hule, then a miyun, now Mibas Yud Beis Yom Echad Lo Mimanis. Mikami Hachi, before this, Dim Abra Mace, if she's going to have a child, if she gets pregnant, she'll die. Pachas Mikan, less than this, Ainam Mesabash Kal, she won't get pregnant less than 11 years old, says Rashi. So therefore, there's never a concern. If she's really performing miyun, that means she's under the age of 12. If she's under the age of 12, either she'll die from becoming pregnant, or she won't be able to become pregnant. So the idea of a child from a woman performing mean. So that can't be a case of memeenes. So the Gemara says, you're right. In the end of the day, you know what's going on in our Mishnah here? It's not a case of Misa. It's not a case of Znus. It's not a case of Grush. It's not a case of Mion. You know what the case is, says the Gemara? It must be, look at the last four lines, Mishkachasla b'kidushe taos, where there was a mistake in the Kedushim. The woman was an adult, but they performed the Kedushim, but the Kedushim was done ayde tenai. And somehow the Tanai wasn't kept, so retroactively the Kedushin was undone. So she never became a Grusha, she just became single because that Kedushin unraveled by virtue of the fact that the Tanai was never fulfilled. Uchad Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Damar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rav Yishmael, Frilo Nispasa, Asura, Har Nispasa Mutaris. If she wasn't forced into a relationship, she willingly had a child, so then she's Asur. It's talking about Narum Rasa. But if she was forced, and while she's not Marasa, she remains mutter to her husband if it was against her will. V'yeshla acharis is another situation, says the Shmuel, that Jaffa Pishla Nispasa, even though she wasn't forced, mutar, she's still permitted to her husband. V'yeshla, what's a case where a woman was with another man, she could stay married to her other husband? She kudushe taos. If the kedushin of the first husband was done but taos, meaning the tanai was never fulfilled, she's never considered as if she's married to somebody else and may stay married to the second husband. Shafiu b'na murkav la ksefa, even if her husband from the first marriage is sitting on her shoulders. She had a child from that. She could refuse that first marriage if there was a kedushin betalus. And that's a case where you can have a woman who had one husband who no longer became the husband, and her second husband, whereby it's not through misa, not through grusha, not through zeus, not through anything else, but it's another way to have a child from a first relationship and perhaps a child from a second relationship. Okay, a bit of a confusing daf at the end there, but we'll stop here and everybody have a wonderful day.